Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
One of those things, a couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in that.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah.
Good morning and welcome, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. I am not Andy Bunker, but we do wish Andy Bunker a happy 36th birthday and many happy returns for another trip around the sun. I'm Willie P. alongside Randy McMichael as we welcome you here on a Thursday morning. Good morning to you, Randy Mac.
Hey, what's happening, man? Good for you. Good to be in the house with you. Thanks for always bringing it with us, Willie P. We do appreciate it. But yeah, happy birthday to my man, Andy Bunker. I did talk to him this morning. He's a little irritated because I guess he wants to play golf and the rain won't let him, but he'll be all right. I told him it's a long day. Just wait it out and just drink as much as possible. And then if you can get out there, you get out there. But yeah, man, it's a Trillville Thursday. And we got a lot to talk about getting ready for the Falcons. My damn dogs are coming back this weekend. Your Missouri Tigers. I mean, it's getting more and more exciting, Will, because so long ago, and you remember this, we didn't know if this was going to ever happen. So I'm getting excited about it.
You're probably a little bit more excited for your matchup with your dogs than I am with my Tigers. I can tell you that.
That's a possibility.
I can tell you that, honestly. I'm not exactly excited about 69 scholarship players going into a game against Alabama with a first-time head coach. Yeah, they're they're down 11. Players. Yeah, they're down to 69 scholarship players because of COVID. So
damn.
And oh, by the way, a first-year head coach. Thanks a lot, Greg Sankey. Thanks for nothing. But, of course, we got a lot to get to today. Of course, you mentioned the Falcons. They've got an injury report that's a long laundry list long. And, of course, we had the Braves last night who won again over the Marlins. No 24-hour hangover after clinch day the day before. But, unfortunately, Randy, once again, another bump in the road with this rotation. Max Fried tweaks his ankle while he's fielding a bunt in the opening inning. I mean, it's just, you know, the freak stuff continues to happen for this team. After that fielded bunt, he gives up two home runs and a hard hit double, and Brian Snicker says, you know what, we're going to put a full stop on this and not exactly have him go out for any more innings. They had him tested after the game and reevaluated today. They seem optimistic that he's going to be able to make the first start of the postseason on Wednesday, but as we know, Randy, with these injuries and with pitchers, it's hard to really know what's true and what's not at this point.
Man, when I saw that, all I thought about was, here we go with this mess. I mean, we talked yesterday with Willie P about, you know, not letting him get hurt. I mean, not let anybody get hurt, but especially Max Fried, and for him to have a fluke ankle injury like that. Then, like you said, you knew something was wrong because the next two batters, they just smashed the ball. Then he had, like you said, three batters smashed it. Just fortunately, two of them went over the wall. But, yeah, I mean, he has a week, you know, I mean, a week from yesterday. So he has 6 days to recover and get ready for the playoffs. It was going to be his last start before the playoffs anyway. So hopefully he can get some rest, get some treatment, and it's not as bad or it's not something that's going to linger. Because, I mean, I don't trust anybody to start any playoff game, not just one, two, or three. I don't trust anybody in this rotation outside of Max Fried to start a playoff game. But, unfortunately, you're going to have to trust him or hope for him because you just don't know what the inconsistencies of this I'm excited about Ian Anderson. I'm excited for what I see from Kyle Wright, but still, I mean, you just don't know what's going to happen. So when I saw that last night, just like most, and all, not no, just like all Braves fans, we were like, I'll be damned. Here we go with this mess right here, because we know what injuries did to the Braves last year in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully, you know, Max will be all right and we can just continue to move on. But yeah, that wasn't a good look for me last night.
Yeah, the Braves limped into the playoffs last year. Of course, the Freddie Freeman injury notwithstanding and a lot of others. And it also stands to reason, Randy, we talk about this a lot in football, and it's kind of a hot debate. When you have your playoff seeding wrapped up, you know, how do you handle that stretch in between when you clinch and when the playoffs start? And baseball is such a rhythmic game anyway that you don't want to give guys long stretches off because you don't want them to lose their rhythm. But at the same time, you want to prevent injury. And I do think that coming off of Max Fried's other injury, you wanted to see him put together another start. And I'm not saying you fault Brian Snitker for starting Max Fried there. I think you definitely needed one more start from him to at least keep him on rhythm and on turn. But I'm wondering how this affects the last couple of games for the Braves. You have one more game against a team that's vying for postseason tonight against the Marlins, but then three games against Boston and a team that literally is playing out the string. They've got no effect right on the postseason in their own division. And when it comes to the Braves, they're two up on Chicago. The only thing they're playing for is seeding, and really all that means is who they're going to play in the opening round. It's going to be a crash course, I think, with the Cubs no matter what. I just totally believe that this situation for the Braves right now, I'm not saying shut it all down, but right now this is almost going to be used as a proving ground to see, okay, who can we trust in the playoffs and who do we have to send back to Gwinnett for the rest of the year?
That's exactly what it is. I mean, you're at a point where you got to find out who is the guy that's going to be in that foxhole with us. And I'm talking mainly about the pitching staff. And, you know, when you look at the seeding part of it, how big a deal is the seeding really with this with this first round with three games? I mean, anything could possibly happen. And that's how I started looking at it like that, you know, earlier this week, Willie P. I was like, well, is it really that big a deal? Is it really a home field? You know, because there are no fans anywhere. So that's how I look at it. But when you look at the seeding part, I think a lot of people have been saying, and we had Nick Green on earlier this week talking about more, you would rather see the Cardinals than the Reds because of the rotation the Reds have. Okay, whatever. They line them up, you knock them down. But, I mean, when you look at this squad, going, you say going back to Boston, I mean, yeah, I know Ozuna wants to go back there. I know that Adruval wants to go back to Boston because last time they were there, they got balls still flying out the park out there in out there at Fenway Park. But yeah, I mean, this is a battle for seeding, but at the same time, you still got to figure out who is going to be the guys behind Max Fried. I'm still, I mean, if you call out the names, you say, okay, but I'm still not convinced on these guys as far as Ian Anderson, Kyle Wright, whoever that bum was the other day. What's his name?
I mean, Bryce Wilson.
Oscar
Yanoa.
Yeah, you know who? Yeah, with him. Yeah, they ain't got, you know, they got Willie P. They ain't got they don't have no confidence over here for me. Now, do I want them to go play well? Hell yeah, I want them to play well. But what have they done so far to give me the confidence that they're going to do well? I want them to. I believe. Damn, I was about to lie. I was about to tell a bald faced damn lie. I hope Willie P that they do well. But yeah, I mean, but the Braves are where they are. And, you know, we're not satisfied with just another NL East title. I mean, that, and when you saw the celebration the other night, I don't think they are either. They are all in, and they know they got to get it done this year, man, or it's going to be another wasted year. 99 home runs. I mean, second in the bigs in home runs. I mean, the offense is potent. We just got to find some way to complement it.
Yeah, it's weird, Randy, because right now where it sits for the Braves, they're in the 2-7 matchup if the playoffs ended today, which would put them facing the San Francisco Giants, one of the two wild cards currently. When it comes to that matchup, you got Johnny Cueto on that other side. You got former Brave Kevin Gausman also, who's looked a heck of a lot better with the Giants than he has during his last season with the Atlanta Braves. So that's certainly something you have to contend with, at least in those first two games of that best of three series. But like you said, as far as improving their position or doing anything to really improve themselves, there really is nothing. You know the games are going to be at Truist Park. They're going to be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, if necessary. And right now, you're playing a group of teams, or you're looking at playing a group of teams right now between the Cardinals, Marlins, Giants, Reds, maybe the Phillies or Brewers if they sneak in at the last second. They're all right around the 500 mark. And the one thing that we really don't know outside of the situation with the Marlins and Phillies, we don't know how these teams match up cross-division because all they've played is teams inside their own division. So this is going to make the postseason all that much more intriguing. and maybe two for the Braves. I know that we don't have a lot of confidence in these guys' ability, but there's also a lot of guys who really you don't have a book on, like Ian Anderson and Bryce Wilson and Kyle Wright. These guys don't exactly have a big track record, so that could work into the Braves' advantage as well. But like you said, when it comes down to the big thing when it comes to this postseason, it's ability. And right now, the Braves' ability in the rotation is questionable at best.
Yeah, I mean, but that, I mean that goes back to something that I always say about, you know, any young player in any sport, Willie P, is, hell, they got to get experience somehow, right? It's like, oh, he doesn't have any game experience. Well, hell, how is he going to get game experience? Unless he plays, you know? And so, I mean, I always go back to one of my favorite Michael J. Fox movie, Secret of My Success, when he's talking about that. He's saying, I'm not qualified. Well, how do I get qualifications if I'm not doing what I need to do to get qualified? So I look at them, this Braves run. I mean, it's going to be a roller coaster. I think that's what it's going to be. I think it's going to be a bunch of highs and hopefully a little lows, because it's going to be some, because whatever has been going on through the regular season, it's going to come to bite us in the butt. Hopefully it doesn't bite us in the butt where we're out early. I mean, it still baffles me, Willie P, that 0-1's the last time they won a damn series. I mean, that just drives me crazy considering all the division titles that they have. But, I mean, it's the damn truth. So, I mean, the first step is winning game one. I think that's the most important thing. And like you said, right now they're lined up with the Giants. We'll see how that goes. But, I mean, I have faith and confidence that, you know, if all else fails, the bats will take us home.
I believe that this is Brian Snitker's best managing job, just based off the fact of all the adversity that they had to go through this season. We talked about it a lot with Joe Patrick on the Batter Up podcast, but yeah, you guys have talked about it with him as well, and he's said that in multiple facets this year. But I also feel like you do need to get past a certain point. And even if you win this first series and you get to the NLDS, you're still not getting anywhere past where you've been here in recent years because of the expanded playoff round. So I almost feel like right now, if you're the Braves, you got to get past that league division series, because I think you have to satisfy something right now with your fan base. Because I know one thing, Braves fans are awful sick and tired when it comes to getting these divisions and getting to this point and then falling flat on their face. And even so, like, I look at a lot of the comments when we posted this stuff about them clinching, it was very, very ho-hum. And that's kind of the mood of this fan base right now. They're tired of seeing the blue banners. Like Andy said yesterday, they want to see more of those yellow and red banners. They want to see those banners that go up there that mean, you know, National League pennants and National League World Series or in a Major League World Series. They're tired of seeing NL East titles with basically nothing else other than that show for it.
Well, I mean, Willoughby, that's so true, though. I mean, whenever you have success, which the Braves recently have had success, three straight NL East titles, that's fun. I mean, you don't want to take anything away from that because it's hard to win those things. But at the same time, we've been there and done that, and we got to get past this first round. If not for anything, for the confidence that the fan base has in this squad moving forward, you get sent home again in the first round. Just being like, well, damn, when 2021 comes around, the Braves won the NL East. Yay.
Whoop-dee-doo.
Yeah.
Ian Anderson goes tonight for Atlanta. We'll get in plenty of more Braves talk throughout the day. Also, a laundry list when it comes to the Falcons injury report. Who has the best chance of the nine who did not practice yesterday to play on Sunday against the Bears? It is the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Willie P in for Andy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. With over 200 fully stocked trucks ready to help, Reliable Heating and Air offers next day installation, or we pay a $500 installation guarantee. Call for details.
I definitely, strained it in the game from, you know, where he felt from Wednesday and Thursday and Friday of doing reps and going through it. So we'll take it all the way through. This is a guy who really understands his body, knows how to work through it.
That's Dan Quinn talking about Julio Jones, whose hamstring injury was aggravated during the Falcons' loss in Dallas. Julio, one of nine guys who did not practice yesterday for the Falcons, who prepare for the Chicago Bears this weekend. Kendall Sheffield, DeMonte KZ, Ricardo Allen, Foyer, Fowler, Jake Matthews, Caleb McGarry, and Tack McKinley all out with various ailments on Wednesday. That doesn't also include the fact that you also had Marlon Davidson, who still hasn't played this year, and Charles Harris, who was still limited in practice. Also Luke Stocker and Tyler Davidson. The thing we said earlier, Randy, is it's thank God it's only Wednesday, because usually Wednesday amounts to a rest day for a lot of guys who are dealing with injuries. But if any of those guys who didn't practice can't go on Sunday, it's a big, big dent in a defense who has failed to impress at least through two games.
Yeah, I mean, they need all heads on deck, all hands, heads, whatever you want to call it, on deck. And now they're at a point where, I mean, but it's league-wide. There's so many banged-up teams, Willie P, right now. And a lot of times some teams are better than others, obviously. But at the same time, man, this is like their preseason also. They're trying to get their bodies acclimated to getting hit again and all these things. But when you have that many injuries and so many key positions for the Falcons, it's mainly Julio Jones. I mean, you gotta make sure that you can go. Now, do I anticipate Julio probably going? Yeah, I can see him out there because that's just Julio. But at the same time, if that hamstring gets any worse, because obviously it seemed like he hurt it worse in the game, then, you know, it can only get worse. So, I mean, if they do decide to, you know, to give him this game off, I wouldn't be surprised. But I would be kind of surprised if Julio Jones didn't play in this game, because it's such a much – they need this win, Willie P. Let's call it what it is. They need to win this football game on Sunday. And so, I mean, you know, usually Julio might get a day off anyways throughout the week. I mean, that's how vets get – you usually get Wednesday off and then go Thursday, Friday, then whatever. So, we'll see as it goes on. We'll see how the Jarvis and Tanitra and them, everybody gives out the injuries of who's in practice and who's not. And we'll see how it's going to go later on this afternoon.
Yeah, Jake was a guy who also was kind of hampered in practice leading up to the Cowboy game, but still played through it. McGarry got hurt in the game, though it does seem like it's only going to be a one-week injury. And Matt Gono, your guy, looked pretty darn good in his place on Sunday when he had to come in and replace. And when it comes to Julio, he can have an impact in the game even if he's not 100%, because just his presence allows guys to flow that way. And it has an impact on guys like Russell Gage and Julio Jones. And I even feel like we haven't talked enough still about Russell Gage and the impact he's had on this season. And he's a guy who, and you and I talked about it before the season, really didn't get a lot of chatter around him in preseason training camp, and I feel like he's deserving of a lot more because he's a real key part of this offense.
Well, the thing with him is that he is proven that he can be that third receiver. Now, I know he had a big drop on the first third down, and they brought him up, why don't you run the football? I mean, the play was drawn up perfect, 525 F-post. He ran the F-post and dropped it. I mean, but other than that, I mean, he's been playing tough. He's been doing everything that's been asked of him as far as in the slot, been making some real contested catches in crowds and everything. So, I mean, he's moving right along, man. And he's been a big surprise for him, but I mean, for us, but not for them, because obviously they knew what this young man could do, because when they drafted him, you know, they thought he was going to be a special teams guy. And now he's worked his way into that third slot. And I mean, his role is only going to expand. So the Falcons, they need to stay balanced, man. They need to, you know, the 21 carries, back-to-back games. I'm very surprised by that, Willie P. I will let you know that. I'm surprised they ran the ball as much as they do. They just got to continue to do that and try and get better at sustaining drives with it. As you know, for Gano, you know, he was one of my favorites. I thought he was going to be the starting left guard, but his versatility. I think me and you were together when you said that his versatility might be the reason he's not starting at left guard. And so, I mean, he played well. He didn't have a good first play, but as the game went along, he got better and better. And I know that they feel like they can count on him.
Nice memory on you there, Randy Mack. I did say that.
You did say, yeah. Last time we were together, you did say that.
What is the biggest problem on this defense? Is it assignments? Is it not knowing where they're going? Or is it being on the field too much? There are a number of theories people have posited as far as why this defense has looked like the first eight games of last season. What is the big thing in your mind that's glaring to you?
Oh, I think anything more than anything is technique, especially the quarterback position. They're opening the gate, letting guys get inside of them. They're not using their hands well. And I don't want to say it's a time of possession there on the field. I just look at it as more of a technique, especially when you're in man-to-man coverage. I mean, they're just making it too damn easy for these receivers to get off the line and get inside of them, or, you know, run the double move. We know about what happened with Keanu Neal on the Amari Cooper. He didn't get enough depth on the hashes as far as when they're running that cover too. So, I mean, there's so many different things you could point to. I look at it personally as it's just a technique effort at corner. I don't think they're getting the wrong calls, but I do think – that the way they changed the game plan against Dallas from the first half to the second half defensively was all wrong. I think if you're going to be aggressive, stay aggressive. Because the one thing about it is that Seattle, they stayed aggressive until they didn't have to. The Falcons still needed to stay aggressive. You know what I mean? That's how I looked at it. Because, you know, we were talking about 2 weeks ago about how Jamal was all over the place. Then all of a sudden, they had him back and they were doing a little bit more conservative type things with him. Well, the Falcons don't have the luxury to do that, you know, because they blow so many second half leads. So they got to stay aggressive. And that's the only thing I wish they would have. And hopefully they do that on Sunday.
Falcons and Bears coming up on Sunday. We'll talk a lot more about it in our lunchtime Falcons report. And throughout the show, Dave Arch is going to join us at 12:20. Braves, as we said, win last night 9-4 over Miami, despite Max Fried exiting in the first inning. And they did it once again, thanks to my man Dansby.
Driven towards center. Marte on his horse back to the infield. Look at that ball carry out toward the Braves bullpen. That ball is gone! Dansby Swanson with a homer to right center. And the Braves have exploded again. A 5-run fourth.
Call courtesy of Chip Carey and Fox Sports. Swanson with a 2-for-3 day, 3 RBIs, all on that home run. Ozzie Albies had 2 hits, 2 driven in, as well as the Braves pick up the rotation with Fried going down with that ankle injury. Again, according to Brian Snicker last night, said it was not that serious. Can a lineup, and I know that people are saying, you know, we can certainly hit. There's no question about that, but can a lineup in this weird season carry you through a postseason? We see pitching carry teams through postseasons all the time. But can a lineup carry a team in this weird postseason?
Will it be? We damn sure about to see. I mean, we are about to see if that can happen, man. Because, you know, I don't know a lot of the other pitching staffs and all that. I worry about my team. But, I mean, is it safe to say we might have the worst starting rotation in the National League right now that's in the playoff pitching? Possibly.
Most uncertain. I'll be more diplomatic.
I'll give you that. That's most a good uncertain. Point. Most uncertain in the NL right now. So, I mean, we're going to see how good this lineup is. I mean, no, we know how good it is, but we're going to see how good it is when it's, you know, when it's possibly the only way you're going to win, when you might have to win 10-6, or you might have to win 11-8 and stuff like that. I don't want that. I mean, I'd rather the Braves have the big number, but you just don't know. And that's been the thing all year long with this squad. That's why you're right. Maybe this is Brian Snicker's best, his best job managing, because of the fact there's so many injuries. Like, there's no way that you go into a season and, like, damn, the five guys that you were hoping that were going to come into this, you know, into this season as your starting rotation, only one of them left, and he got hurt. So, right. I mean, so you're sitting there, and you're Brian Snicker, I'm sure he's sitting there with that lineup card in the piece of paper where all the pitches are. He's like, damn.
He could argue we didn't have 5 to begin with, quite honestly.
You know what I'm saying? Willie Pitt, I know Felix
got opted out. I mean, come on, yeah. Seriously.
Hey, Willie Pitt, I know he's probably sitting there like, I got to go with this guy. Well, hopefully he'll do his job. I mean, that's probably where he is.
And they keep winning, though. That's the thing.
Because of the lineup. That's why they keep winning. That's why they keep winning. That's why I said we will see. As this thing goes along, Willie Pitt, once it starts next Wednesday, we're going to see, man. We're going to see. I mean, hey. Got to have confidence on that. No. You got to have faith.
Certainly so. We'll do a big college football roundup coming up about 11:20 today. SEC weekend begins this weekend with the Georgia Bulldogs taking on Arkansas and their former assistant Sam Pittman. Still don't know who the quarterback's going to be, but Kirby Smart seems to like what he sees from DeJuan Mathis through camp.
DeJuan's done a great job. He has embraced every opportunity. He's competed. He's gotten better. He's very talented with his feet. He understands what we're asking him to do. You know, I think he's done a great job preparing, and so has Carson Stetson and JT. They really all have done a good job preparing for this moment, and I feel comfortable with all those guys.
If I was going to shuffle any money any kind of way, it would be on DeJuan taking that first snap on Saturday, just because I feel like they've been coy enough about JT Daniels. But, I mean, you guys have talked to Roddy and any of the other insiders who were there. It doesn't seem like JT is going to be cleared to play by the time Saturday rolls around.
Yeah, I don't think he will. I don't think he will be either. And, DeJuan, I mean, everybody's excited about him because of how athletic he is. And, you know, Roddy talks about how fast he is and all these things. But everybody's like, well, he don't got no experience. Well, hell, the only way to get it is for him to go out there and play out there in Fayetteville on Saturday afternoon. The biggest thing will be the offensive line, because you got a lot of new starters up there. But Willie P, I expect them to run the football because of the fact that they got a young quarterback. You got a young offensive line. And the best way for an offensive line to gel is for them to go forward. So I expect a lot of run blocks and all those things, but you still got to have guys step up. So I'm anxious to see this young man play because there hasn't been this type of a dynamic type quarterback at Georgia since DJ. And so I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see what he brings. But more excited, I'm just excited to see the damn dogs play. I mean, that's my thing, man. I am so ready, Willie P. I mean, my flag looking a little redder outside the dough. I'm already making my menu for Saturday afternoon. I'm trying to find a way to get people the hell out the house Saturday. I'm in my dog zone right now, and I'm so excited.
I'm making chili Saturday and Sunday. It's gonna be a nice weekend. Nice weekend because of the chill is in the air. We'll make some chili. Might have some chili dogs on Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun. I do not want to give short shrift to Atlanta United. Big, big bounce back win for them last night. 1-0 over FC Dallas thanks to a 54th minute penalty goal from Jeff Lorenowitz. Definitely wanted to give them some love, and we'll do so throughout the show. Big deal, small deal, no deal comes your way next with Brian Gephardt. We'll talk some NBA playoffs next. The Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
Burn.
What's up, babe?
It's Hugh Douglas from The Morning Show. Check out Mike Contest. He joins us every Monday at 9:20. He can talk Atlanta United. He can talk Atlanta Hawks, Atlanta Falcons. He's a man of all hats on Sports Radio 92.9 again.
Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Willie P in for Andy on a dreary Trillville Thursday. Hope you're enjoying yourself and listening to us wherever you might be, whether it's on the radio or on the radio.com app. You were speaking of your menu, and I was thinking of you when I thought of this, Randy.
What's that?
A couple weeks from now, it'll be Meet the Parents Week for yours truly and my girlfriend Julianne. So that'll be.
You met a mom and daddy yet?
I have not. This will be a first time up there in Indiana. And one
How long
of the
y'all
things,
been together?
A long time. Trust me, it's been a while. It's about a year and a half. So
you ain't met mom and daddy yet?
I have not. Well, because we had the pandemic. I mean, we were supposed to go up there before the pandemic, but that kind of shut things down. And of course, they're old, so we don't want to necessarily infect them at all. So,
right.
It'll be again. Circumstances have led to us postponing that trip until now, and we're going to make that happen here. So, trust me, I would have tried to take care of it a lot sooner than right now. But one of the things that Indiana cuisine-wise is known for is a breaded pork tenderloin sandwich, or as you like to call it, a poke chop sandwich. And it basically comes out on like a normal looking hamburger bun, and the tenderloin is bigger than the bun. So that's something that I think would be right up your alley. Thing is
okay,
huge.
That's how, you know me, man. Just give me some damn hot sauce and some man, I'm good to go, man. But yeah, that's well, you know, Meet the Parents is all right. I mean, I think it's too much is put into it, you know.
Right.
Oh, I got to meet the parents. Man, just be yourself and be nice. Because the thing about it is you meeting their daughter. He ain't going to like you no ways.
Right.
You know, the fathers, we don't like our daughter's boyfriends. No matter what. Now, we'll respect the fact that you dating our daughter. But we ain't going to never like you because we'll never think a man is good enough for our baby girl.
So here's the thing. I've always had better luck with the fathers. Uh-huh. It's the mothers look at me and they look at me in some kind of way. I don't know what it is. They always look at me sideways. I don't know why.
Oh no! I mean, hey man, everybody, we all grown here, man. Most of us, anyway. We all know what us mannish males want to do to the pretty princess. We know, right? I mean, it's just embedded in us, right? And as a parent, you know that too. Like, if you come in to meet me and you date my daughter, be respectful, of course, but don't be too fake respectful. I'm like, bruh, I was your age once. Yes, sir. Laughing at all your corny jokes. And then as soon as I walk out of the room, you got your head up under the covers. No.
Exactly. No,
that's what I say. When you're in my house, your boyfriend comes over, ain't no sitting on the same couch.
And that father, right? By the way, Julianne's father, he's a father of five. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 daughters, and she's the oldest. So
he's been through this.
Do the math on that one.
Exactly.
Let's get to Brian Gephardt with a big deal, small deal, no deal.
And now, 92.9 The Game presents Big Deal, Small Deal, or No Deal with Brian Gephardt on Andy and Randy Midday Show.
It is brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey, the only Tennessee high malt whiskey. Have it as part of your bar for the opening weekend of SEC football. Good morning, B.
What up, B?
Hey, good morning, guys. We had a guy last night who can't even drink Chattanooga Whiskey illegally yet. Tyler Hero for the Heat. Setting a record for points in a conference final game by a rookie with 37 to put the Heat up 3-1 in the series. Big deal, small deal, no deal.
Oh, it's a big deal because, you know, my Heat, you know, they are playing well. They're up 3-1. And he is – Brian, he just got something about him. I saw that when they drafted him. You saw him with the – you talking about his drip and all this, whatever, whatever. The kid is he's a fantastic player. Another one of those gems that Pat Riley found. And last night, I mean, he had it going, man. He really did. And he was 17 in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's a big deal for that young man. And it, well, I don't want to say it's confident because, I mean, if you've ever been around or talked to him or heard from him, he got plenty of confidence and swag about him.
I know he doesn't have the banners recently, but I still don't think that Pat Riley, for the longevity that he's had in this game and the franchises that he's led to success, I don't think he gets enough credit for his work as an executive in the NBA. And you mentioned it right there with Tyler Hero. It's a team full of role players and Jimmy Butler, and those role players all stand out on different nights. And I feel like that's the kind of thing we were talking about before the show. What kind of team could beat the LeBron James-led L.A. Lakers? I think a team like Miami can certainly give them a run for their money because you don't know on a given night who's going to have the hot hand.
Yeah, I mean the thing with it is, and I mean, I'm sorry, Willie P. Like, I was there when Spoke got the job and everything, and when he talked about that Heat culture, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. When you're around an organization, they are all one mind, led by Mr. Arison and Pat Riley. I mean, the Heat culture is a real thing, and I think they can beat the Lakers. But I mean, hell, you just don't know. But I think they have the capabilities because of the fact that they play hard, they play tough. And they just don't get pushed around easily.
Sticking with Tyler Hero for a second, hopefully you guys did this during the commercial break. I texted you to look up his girlfriend, Katya Elise Henry. Big deal, small deal, no deal. The 20-year-old dating that 26-year-old lady right there.
Oh, it's a big deal, man, because she all right. She all right. I see Pervy Brian follows her, so she must be all right. Brian Gephardt. But I mean, I follow too, but I don't follow that stuff. I keep that off my timeline because I want no problems. I don't want no assumptions where, oh, he followed me. Hi. No.
You're telling me she just made the agenda of the next Yams committee meeting? Is that
oh,
what you're
telling me? Oh, yeah. She's straight. Good for him. But this is the thing, though. Here's always whenever you see these young basketball players with these Instagram models. Who did she date before she dated him?
Right.
Yep. Whose girl was she before she dated him? Because, I mean, she all right. Yeah.
You want the answer to that question?
She straight. Huh?
You want the answer to that question?
Oh, who was it?
Kyle Kuzma.
There you go.
Oh, no.
Everybody dated Kyle Kuzma. I mean, if you go through that Instagram, either Ben Simmons, Kyle Kuzma, or James Harden dated him.
Yeah, maybe Tyler Hero is joining that list as well.
Does James Harden really date anybody, though? I mean, seriously.
I mean, from what my partners tell me out there at H-Town, it's just like it's a rotation. And the thing about it is James let them know. He said, yeah, we can kick it for a few months. And they get all the benefits of kicking it with James. And then, you know, but the thing with James, how he's different than Randy, I'm taking that pocketbook back. Yeah, no. What's the expensive one, Wendy? The Burkett, whatever joint, whatever it's called? No, let me get that back, Shawty.
We did
you got to be invested in years to get pocketbooks that got commas in it.
We did a deal with a camp down in Houston when I was working in radio down there, and we used to get an exclusive one-on-one with James Harden, and the laundry list of things that we couldn't ask him about, including his girlfriend at the time, which I think that's when he was dating Khloe Kardashian. There was more things we couldn't ask him about than we could ask him about. I was like, what are we supposed to ask him about? You know, foreign policy? Come on, man.
Hey, man, James had a roster. Because I mean, any roster that you got, anytime you got your roster got a Ashanti on it, man, Ashanti thick like they, what they call them, cold grits, man. That's, whoo, Lord, have mercy.
I believe you said she was thick like lumped up laundry one time. That was a really
nice joke. Yeah, that's how thick that's how thick Ashanti is. Dude, we used to go when I was in St. Louis, we used to go to the Nelly used to host a black and white ball, and that's when he was dating her. Man, she came in there with that white dress on one time. Like, the whole room stopped. It was like, damn.
Nelly, like, by the way, underrated party guy. Underrated partier.
Oh, yeah. You know, what's the name of that hotel down?
Lumiere Place?
No, it's not Luminary. It's over. It's close to the hospital and everything. It's real. It's an old school hotel.
Oh, the Renaissance.
The Renaissance. Yeah, that's where it would always be at.
I've had some adventures at that hotel.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Look at this.
You got a shot on your roster.
Which this is talk about Tyler playing? Hero? No.
Why are you playing Taylor Hero? Oh, okay.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, talk to you guys in a few hours.
Bye, Brian. And NFL No Huddle comes your way next. Is this guy finally going to get a vote for MVP this year? We'll explain coming up. Willie P in for Andy Bunker. Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. Would you lie? Would you run?
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.